Alrighty, Shabbat Shalom. And Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us today. Got a very timely and important message, you know, as the Shemitah is ended and a new year is here, or not just a new year, a new cycle of seven, which possibly can be the last 7 years before Yeshua returns. I get chills when I even think about that. I don't know how many people really thinking about that. There could be another seven. You know, it might be two sevens, who knows, but there's, you know, a lot of things pointing that possibly this could be the last seven, and only Yahweh knows that. We'll see. You know, probably into this period we'll get an idea of whether there's another one or not. But can you imagine even just thinking about it, that possibly this could be the last 7 years? So it's a time for us to examine ourselves and to really look at our life as a believer and, you know, where we are at this point. And I want to share a lesson from, to me, one of the most interesting stories that you'll read in the Bible. It's a really interesting story that I think has a real bigger message than maybe you realized before. So I want to start in Proverbs 16 and verse 11, just to give you a little background before we get into the story. And it says, "A just scale and balances are to Yahweh. All the stones of the bag are his work." A just scale and balances to Yahweh. All the stones of the bag are his work. Now, today, when you go in and you get something weighed in the supermarket or whatever, right? Everything is electric. They just stick it on a thing. It tells you. But that's not the way it was in ancient times. And actually today, even in the Middle East, in a lot of markets, we still see this today, that what happens is when you're buying something, saying you buy, you know, 2 pounds of olives, you put the olives on one part of the scale, and then on the other part of the scale, they'll put, you know, a stone that is a kilo or half a kilo, you know, or whatever. And then when they balance themselves out, that's the way they know how much that something literally weighs. So what was happening in ancient times, some of these vendors were changing the stone, right? They were putting, like, it's supposed to be 1 kilo, and they're making it, you know, changing it so that when, instead of, maybe you only have 1.5 kilos, but it's showing 2 kilos, so you pay more money. And that's why Yahweh says, "A just scale and balances are to Yahweh. All the stones of the bag are his work." And actually, if you ever see, even today, in American courts, they call it the scale of justice. You see that. You see both sides, you know, weigh out to balance each other. So I wanted to explain that before getting into the story. And the story I'm going to get into is Daniel 5. The story with Belshazzar, which is really a really interesting story. And we're going to analyze this because, like I said, there's actually a really big message in there for us today. So I'm going to start Daniel 5. I'm going to read verse 1 through 17. And then I'm going to drop down to verse 24. "Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his nobles, and he drank wine before the 1,000. When tasting the wine, Belshazzar commanded the golden and silver vessels brought those his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the sanctuary in Jerusalem, that the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines might drink from them." So remember what happened. I'm not going to go to the scripture now, but in 2 Chronicles and also 2 Kings, we see this. Remember when Judah was being attacked by Babylon, and they took all the things from the temple in there, right? And now this is after 70 years. The 70 years are up, right, where Judah is, their captivity is going to be over. And what's happening, Belshazzar is actually taking the things from the sanctuary of Yahweh and using them toward a pagan deity. And then verse 3, "Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the sanctuary of the house of Eloh in Jerusalem. And the king, his nobles, and wives, and his concubines drank from them," right? So they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and copper and iron and wood and stone. So what an abomination, not only to be praising these false deities, but to be doing it with actually the vessels that Yahweh, that were made for his very sanctuary. So first, bad move by Belshazzar. "At that moment, fingers of a man's hand came out and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace across the lampstand." So this is something you'd see like in a horror movie or something, right? That literally fingers are coming out of the wall, which I know it would scare me if I saw something like that. And that's what they see. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Wow. And he's literally seeing these fingers write. Then the king's color was changed, right? Like he turned white. He was scared to death. And his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins shook. He was literally shaking. His knees were knocking. And his knees knocked one against the other. And a lot of times we say that like metaphorically, but this was literally happening. This is how scared he was. The king cried aloud to bring in the conjurers, the Chaldeans and the stargazers. The king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Any man who could read this writing and reveal its meaning shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall rule third in the kingdom." Wow, so he was scared to death and he wanted to know what it meant. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or make the meaning known to the king. Then Belshazzar was greatly terrified, and his face was changing on him, and his nobles were perplexed. The queen came into the banquet house because of the words of the kings and his nobles. The queen spoke and said, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts terrify you, and do not let your face be changed. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy Elohim. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom was found in him, like the wisdom of the Elohim. Your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, appointed him chief of the magicians, conjurers, Chaldeans, and stargazing ones. Because an excellent spirit in knowledge and understanding, explaining of dreams and revealing of riddles, and the unraveling of knots were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will reveal the meaning." Then Daniel was thrust in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is of the sons of the exiled of Judah, whom my father the king brought out of Judah?" Right? This is 70 years later. Remember, he was just a boy when he was first brought out. You know, maybe 17 years old. Now this is 70 years later. So he's like 87. He's an old man. "I have heard of you that the spirit of the Elohim is in you, and light and excellent wisdom and understanding are found in you. And now the wise men and the conjurers have been thrust in before me so that they might read this writing and make the meaning known to me. But they were not able to declare the meaning of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can interpret meanings and unravel knots. Now if you can read the writing and reveal its meaning to me, you shall be clothed with purple and have a golden chain around your neck, and you will rule third in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be to yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make the meaning known to him," right? Because he is a prophet of Yahweh, and he is going to tell him that. Now drop down to verse 24. Now we're going to see what it says. "Then the part of the hand was sent to from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. A mina, a shekel and half minas." This is the meaning of the thing. A mina, Eloah has numbered your kingdom and finished it, right? A shekel, you are weighed in the scales and found lacking. That's what we talked about, right? The just weight. He's weighed in the scales and he's not just. He's found lacking. This, a minute, minute, half shekel. And this is the meaning of the thing. A minute, Eloah has numbered your kingdom and finished it. A shekel, you weighed in the scales and found lacking. Half minutes, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians, right? So that's kind of a play on word there, because the word for Persian and the word for divided, Perez, you know, it's kind of like a play on words. So it's interesting that when we look at verse 24, then part of the hand was sent from him, and this writing was written. And verse 25, and this is the literal meaning, a mina, mina, a shekel and half minas. And it's literally what it says in the Aramaic is, to appoint and specifically then weigh out payment, yet only give out half. So that word meaning, you know, that... Numbered is literally the word means to appoint. So it's like if you go into the shop, like I said, and you bought 5 kilos of something, you weighed that out. This is 5 kilos, but then when the guy gives you the bag, there's only 2.5 kilos in it. And it's really important. Remember that. So it literally is to appoint, you know, to appoint something, or to number it, you know, to number to a point, just like when somebody is appointed as a guard or a teacher, whatever, to be set apart, to be appointed for something, to appoint something specifically, and then weigh out the payment and only give half of it. So that's literally what it's saying. And it's a really amazing story. It's a scary story when you think about it. And, the hand coming out of the wall, it's the only time we ever see anything like this in Scripture. So the first mistake, like I said, was Daniel 5, 1 through 3, where Belshazzar is taking something that is set apart to Yahweh. He's taking something that is kadosh and making it common. So that's the first lesson we're going to learn from this. You can't take something that's set apart to Yahweh and make it common. Then let's go to verse 18 that we didn't read yet and see what Daniel says. Verse 18 through verse 23, he says, O king, the Most High Eloah gave your father Nebuchadnezzar a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled in fear before him. He killed whom he desired, and whom he desired he kept alive, and whom he would set up, and whom he desired he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was put down from the throne of his kingdom, and they took his glory from him. Remember when he turned into an animal, was eating grass for 7 years. Interesting again, 7 year period. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the animals, and his home was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the heavens, until he knew that the Most High, Eloah, is ruler in the kingdom of men, and that he appoints over it whomever he desires. And you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, right? So the son saw all this, he saw what happened to the father, and yet he's like oblivious. He's like a Laodicean, you know, like he just doesn't get it. But you have exalted yourself against the Master of Heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your nobles, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine with them. And you praise the gods of silver, gold, copper, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear and do not know. And you have not glorified the Eloah, in whose hand your life, your breath, and all your ways is. So wow. So now we see what the problem is, right? That he took something that was kadosh to Yahweh. He didn't keep it kadosh. And he used it in a pagan way. And he was set apart. He was set apart for something special. And he only did half effort. He didn't give everything yet, right? He waited out the payment, but he only gave half of it. So now the question is, because this isn't really about Belshazzar, you know, he's the one in there, but there's a much bigger meaning in here for us today. Are we doing the same as Belshazzar? As Yahweh set you apart for something kadosh, something special, you know, a special purpose, a special position, and are you being weighed in the balance and only giving half of what you're supposed to, or maybe even left? Let's go to 1 Peter, 1 Peter 2. And starting in verse 1. He says, Wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil accusations. As newborn babes desire the word as pure spiritual milk, that you may grow to salvation by it, right? It's the word of Yahweh, like talks about in Romans 10, how faith is built. If you tasted and found out that our Master is good, to whom you have come because he is a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen of Yahweh and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, right? Yeshua is the head. We are the body. A holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yeshua Messiah. And as it is said in Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion an elect precious stone, a chief cornerstone, and the one believing in him shall not be ashamed. Then it is to you who believe that this honor is given, right? Yahweh has given an honor to the believing ones, to us. The honor of knowing this and being part of it. But to disobeying ones, he is the stone which the building rejected. The one became the head of the corner. He is the stone of stumbling and a rocket of offense, and they stumble at it because they did not believe the word for which they were appointed. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy people, and a people for possession, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness to his precious light. You who were then not a people, but now are the people of Yahweh, who had not obtained mercy, but who now have mercies poured upon them. So just like Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar was the king. He was the king after his father. He's the king's son. He takes over for his father, or rather Belshazzar, takes over for Nebuchadnezzar, his father. And it didn't hit him that Yahweh, the same way Yahweh put Nebuchadnezzar in that position, he put Belshazzar in that position for a purpose. The 70 years are up, right? Belshazzar is the one who takes Judah into captivity. Now if the 70 years is done, it's going to be the king that's honored to take him out. And there, Nebuchadnezzar is called the servant of Yahweh. And here we are the same today. You know, like I always say, you're one out of 5 million people that Yahweh has called for this special position, right? Like we just read in Peter, you know, that we are living stones of the house of Yahweh. We are a peculiar people. We are a people for possession, right? We are the Melchizedek priests in training for Yahweh's kingdom. And we're called to rule in the kingdom forever. That's what our calling is. Is our life making the Melchizedek priesthood common? The same way that Belshazzar used the things for common. Is our life sanctified to Yahweh? And not just what we're doing. So it's not just about our life or our actions being kadosh. It's about, are we fulfilling our priesthood? The same way that Belshazzar was the king and he was lacking in the balances, right? Yahweh says, I set you as king. I put you above everything. You were the guy, just like your father. And you're weighed in the balances and found lacking. He's only doing half, at best, of what Yahweh set him up to do. Revelation 20 in verse 4. Revelation 20 in verse 4. And I saw thrones and them that sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Yeshua and because of the word of Yahweh, who had not worshipped the beast nor its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads and on their hand. And they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years. This is our whole calling. This is the whole reason from the day, not only that you were born, but the day you were conceived in your mother's womb, that this is the purpose that Yahweh set you out for. To rule in the kingdom for the 1,000 years and ultimately forever. This is the first resurrection. That's what first fruits are. Blessed and kadosh is the one having part in the first resurrection. The second death has no authority over these. But they will be priests of Yahweh and of his Messiah, and they will reign with him 1,000 years. And like I said, and on forever. So wow. We are in training for a royal priesthood to reign in the millennium with Yeshua. Are we found weighed in the balance and found lacking, right? So here's what Yahweh expects of us. Here's the stone. And are you on this side? And only half, like I said, to a point. That's what that means in verse 25. To a point specifically, to be appointed specifically, and then weigh out the payment and only give half. And we're going to see what happens when you're weighed in the balance and you're found lacking. It's not a good thing whatsoever. Is our life a false weight? You know, is your life a false weight? Empty, void of substance. That's what a false weight is. It's empty and void of substance. So let's go back to Daniel. Daniel 5. And verse 27. Right? So first he said in verse 26 that this is the meaning of the thing. Allah has numbered your kingdom and finished it, right? So they are weighed in the balance, numbered and finished it. And then verse 27. A shekel, you are weighed in the scales and found lacking. And that literally means a lack of quality and quantity. So it's not just the weight, but it's the quality. Because you know what? Sometimes you could weigh it out 5 kilos here and you get 5 kilos of peaches. And then you get home, you open it up and all the peaches are all rotten. So you're really not getting 5 kilos. You're lucky sometimes if you get a half a kilo out of that. So you got to throw it away. So when they're weighed in the balance and found lacking, it's a lack of quality as well as quantity. You know? So your prayer life, your study life, Is it simply going through the motions? You know, you're talking about the creator of the universe, the one that has no beginning and no end, the one that created absolutely everything, every planet, every star. When you think of light years, you think of all of this stuff now with technology. We haven't seen anything yet. And the person who created all that, and you are blessed that he gives you direct access to talk to him every day. He allows you to talk to him with, and share with him anything. And maybe you're putting in your 15 minutes or your half hour, but is there quality to it? I mean, you're talking to him from your heart, or the conversations. Do you have a real relationship? Or are you weighed in the balance and found lacking in quality and quantity? Yahweh invested so much in us for our future jobs as kings and priests. What are we giving back in return? Right? And like we said, go back to verse 25. A minute, a shekel, and half minas, right? To appoint or number something specifically, then weigh out the payment and only give half. Are we found in the balance and found lacking? 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 3 says, "Do not multiply your haughty words. Let not arrogance go out from your mouth. For Yahweh is an Elohim of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." By him actions are weighed, right? So like I said, faith is action, right? Fruit is action, you know? And that's why I love that in the Aramaic, it's literally not faith without works, but faith without deeds, right? Without a deed, there is no faith, you know? It's what you get done. So it's the action. Faith without action. So that's what Yahweh's saying here in 1 Samuel 2, 3. And by him, actions are weighed. They're not just talked about. They're not just concepted. But they're weighed. They're weighed to see if they're found lacking or not. Yahweh looking for action fruit, not excuses. John 15. John, book of John, verse 15. I'm going to read 1 through 8. Because it's very simple. You don't hear any churches talking about this, right? Because the Torah is nailed to the cross and, you know, we're saved by grace. We don't have to do nothing. There's nothing to do. But they're not reading not the Torah, which they don't read anyway, but they're also not reading the New Testament. But let's look at what is required of us for salvation, for eternal life, and for our position, right? Because we saw with Belshazzar, from the time he was born, the same thing, right? He's the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And from the time he was born, he was set out for that job. And this is the biggest thing he's going to do after the 70 years. He's going to be the one that's going to allow our brother Judah to go back to the land. And what did he do? He was weighed in the balance and found lacking. He never prepared for his job, and he never fulfilled it, and Yahweh removed him. John 15, "I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me not bearing fruit, he takes away, and each one bearing fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit." That's what you do. You prune trees every year, right? When you prune them, that means the next year more is going to grow. So that's why our challenges, you know, I don't like to call them trials, I like to call them challenges in life. That's what they're for. They're for so that we can bear more fruit. "You are already pruned because of the word which I've spoken to you," right? So we have a greater accountability because we have the truth. And I say this every sermon. I am so thankful to Yahweh as I look out there in the world. And most of the world is so deceived. You know, they're bringing out now another vaccine shot. And people are taking it even after everything that happened. You know, recently they talked about 118,000 children, small children that died immediately after taking the shot. And people will still take it. Why? Because their minds are closed and our mind isn't closed. And we have the truth. But are you valuing it, right? Are you valuing it? "You are already pruned because of the words which I've spoken. Remain to me and I in you. As the branch is not able to bear fruit of itself unless it remain in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me." So there's no such thing as rogue believers out there, cowboy believers, you know. There's not the thing. It's a body. We're a cod. We work together. We're a family. That's what it's about, you know. You've got to remain in him and be part of that body, you know. Proverbs 18:1, "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me you're not able to do anything." And yet people out there, just like Belshazzar, they think they're out there doing something. They think they're out there. They have authority, but they really don't. They're really just weighed in the balance and found lacking. Until one remains in me, he is cast out. Unless one remains in me, he is cast out as the branch and is dried up. And they gather and throw them into the fire and they're burned. That's what happens when the cherubs come at Yeshua's return, right? Throw them in the lake of fire. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, whatever you desire, you will ask, and it will happen to you, right? You got to pray in faith. You got to pray in faith, but you got to pray for the right things. In this, my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be disciples of me, right? So unless you're a disciple, you don't make the kingdom. You have to be a disciple of him. I always say this at the Bible school. You know, when you look up words that were called, believer might be there five times, you know, and whatnot. But disciple is there more than 250 times in the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament. We're called disciples, and that's what we are. So, you have to bear fruit, right? And like the analogy we're giving in this message, the fruit weighed in the balances, are you bringing what the weight is? Because on one side, Yahweh has a weight. And on the other side, we have to bring the fruit, and our fruit needs to be at least equal with his weight, or we're going to be weighed in the balance and found lacking. So are we doing that? And really think to yourself, you know, this is something, this is a message to challenge you and to get you, when this is over, write down what fruit you bore during the Shemitah this past year that's gone now. What fruit did you bear for the kingdom? Because whatever you were going to bear, you were going to get double and triple. Did you bear anything for the kingdom? And think about it. If not, this is scary, because we're going to see what happens to those who are found lacking. And it's not a pretty picture. This is reality. This is the truth. This is scripture, right? Are you pulling your weight? You've heard that expression, right? Man, he's not, got to get rid of Bill. He's not pulling his weight, right? Are you pulling your weight to be equal in the balance? Or only are you only giving out half the weight to Yahweh as he gives 100%. And that's what verse 5 said. He's weighed in the balance and found lacking, right? He only gave half of what he was supposed to give. Matthew 25 in verse 13. Matthew 25 in verse 13. Because these may be parables, but these parables are truth. These parables are exactly what's required of us and exactly what's going to happen at Yeshua's return. Matthew 25 in verse 13. Therefore, be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes, right? And everybody puts it off. Everybody just keeps going on. Day goes into day, and week after week, and month after month, and year after year. But there will be a day, there will be a time where Yeshua's feet go on the Mount of Olives, and then that's it. Either you did it, either you followed, either you're weighed in that balance, or we're going to see. You're going to wind up going where the bad fruit goes. For it is like a man who went on a journey. He called his servants and delivered his possessions to them. And to one indeed he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability, right? So we don't all have to bear the same, because Yahweh's given us different gifts and ability, but we got to bear something. And he went immediately on his journey. And going, the one received 5 talents, worked with them, and made another 5 talents, right? He worked with them. He didn't put it off. He didn't try to do something else. He didn't philosophize about it. He worked and produced 5 more. In the same way, the one with 2 also did and gained another 2. But going the way, the one who received the 1 dug in the earth and hid his master's silver. He did nothing, right? The cares of the world. He was worried about all other kinds of stuff and bare no fruit for Yahweh. And after much time, the master of those slaves came and took account with them. And coming up, the one received 5 talents, brought another 5 talents. And you're saying, Master, you delivered 5 talents to me. Behold, I gained another 5 talents above them, right? So here it is. He's more than weighed in the balance. He's not giving half of what's required. He's giving double. He's giving double to that. And look what the master says. And the master said, well done, good slave and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will set you over many. Enter into the joy of your master, right? So here it's on one side. Was 5 talents, Yahweh's weight, and then he came with 10 talents. He gave double of what was. And the one who received 2 talents are coming up. He said, Master, you delivered 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 others above them. Right? So the same thing. Yahweh has two talents on that scale. And this guy brings four. And his master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will set you over many. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who received the one talent, also coming up, he said, master, I knew you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. Wow, what audacity this guy to say this. And being afraid, going away, I hid your talent in the earth. Behold, here it is. Here it's back to you, right? And each one of you that are listening to this, you have a talent of something, right? We go over this in the Bible school. You know, we go over what are our talents. The gift of administration, the gift of gifts, the gift of teaching, you know, the gift of wisdom, whatever it is. And nobody in 18 years has ever walked out of there not knowing what his talent was. But now when Yeshua returns, right, you are going to be weighed in the balance from that talent. And you're either going to be rewarded or you're going to found lacking. What is it? And answering, his master said to him, evil and lazy slave. Evil and lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I do not sow and I gather where I do not scatter. Then you ought to have put my silver to the bankers, and coming I would have received my own with interest. Right? There's brethren out there that aren't even doing the simplicity of tithing. The simplest thing, all you have to do is you get money, 10%, you put it on the side for Yahweh. And there's people that don't even do that. Never mind bearing fruit. Because what did Yeshua say? When you do everything commanded of you, consider yourself unprofitable. So if you're only doing the things commanded, like tithing, you're unprofitable. Because you're just doing what you have to do, and yet some don't even do that. Some don't even do that. And there seems to be no fear of them. They seem to be oblivious. When they're even stealing from Yahweh in that case. Right? You should have put my money to the bankers and I would have come with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Right? The one who is growing in the spiritual gifts are going to get more. And the ones who aren't using them, the little bit you have will be taken away. Why? Because you didn't use it anyway. Because you didn't use what Yahweh gave you. For to each who has, more will be given. And he will abound, but from him who does not have, even the little he has will be taken from him. You have to use it for it to grow. And throw the worthless slave into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is the way it is. I've said this many times when Yeshua returns. It's the feast of clamoring. It's not trumpets. It's the feast of clamoring. It's Yom Teruah. It's the feast of noise, right? And to the people that are bearing fruit, to the people that are waiting for Yeshua, the people that are coming out of the world, they're going to be happy and singing and joyful. And there's going to be a good noise. To the ones who aren't, to the ones that are only listening to this world, that are only living to this world, that are doing absolutely zero for the kingdom, they're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because they know. They know what the next step is. And unfortunately, some don't even care. They don't even care because not everybody. There are wheats and tares in there, and not everybody is a wheat or a first fruit, but there's tares of same. So, are we found weighed in the balance and found wanting? This is a perfect, perfect parable that goes with the sermon, what we're doing here. Let's go back to the book of Daniel. Right? Back to verse 26. This is the meaning of the thing. Eloah has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Those found lacking will be replaced. He has numbered your kingdom and finished it, right? Belshazzar was a king. He had a time. And his time was up. And that was the end of it. And each one of us, even good or bad, even if you have a great life and you bear a lot of fruit, each one of us, there's so many days. It's appointed to all men once to die and then the judgment. So we only have so many days on this earth. And every day you let go, that you don't pray and you don't study and you don't have some kind of ministry, that you're not doing something for somebody, you are losing, right? It's the same way if you buy five kilos of peaches, every day you eat some, it's not 5 kilos, it's a little less. And the day comes that they're all gone. And it's the same thing with time. Every day of our life, we have less time than we had the day before. And here, he was found in the balance and found lacking. Boom. That was it. That was the end of it, right? And if we don't fulfill this great commission, we are part of this small number of this royal priesthood, part of a tiny little number of all the people that Yahweh called from Adam till today, this small number, like I said, about 1 in 30 million from creation. And If you're not doing nothing with it, if it means nothing in your life, then you will be replaced. It's that simple. Acts 1 and verse 13. Acts 1 and verse 13. And this is when Judas was replaced. And when they went in, they went to the upper room where they were waiting, both Peter and Jacob and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, Jacob, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the brother of Jacob. These were all continuing steadfastly in prayer and in supplication with one mind, right? They weren't out on their own, but they were together with one mind. They were a cod. With the women and with Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, and with his brothers. And in these days, standing up in the middle of the disciples, and the number of the names together being about 120, right? That's not many people from all the thousands and thousands. Just the miracle of the fish and the loaves, it happened twice, right? Was how many people? You know, between 10 and 12,000 or more that's there. He says, and Peter says, "Men, brothers, it is necessary for the scripture to be fulfilled, which the Ruach HaKodesh spoke before through David's mouth concerning Judas, the one having become guide to those seizing Yeshua. For he was numbered with us and obtained a portion of this ministry." So Yahweh has so many first fruits numbered, and if you don't follow your commission, you'll simply be replaced. "This is he who obtained a field for himself from the reward of sin, and fell upon his face to the ground, and burst into the middle, and poured out all his insides. And it became known to all those living in Jerusalem, so as that field to be called in their own dialect, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. Let his dwelling be desolate, and let not one be a dweller in it, and let another take his office," right? So we are each called to an office. I've said this many times. We are going to be the cabinet of Yeshua in the kingdom. It is a government, all right? Yahweh is a family, but he's also a government. The kingdom of Yahweh is a government. And each of us has a position. And I say, when Yeshua comes back, he'll give us an envelope and say, "Well, good. Well done, good servant." And we will get our job where we're going to. To be the king over China, to be this, to be that. If you're not doing anything now, if you're not getting ready for that, if that isn't the biggest thing in your life, if you're not bearing any fruit, then you will be replaced, the same as Judas was replaced. Because Yahweh's kingdom is going to go on. That's not a question. The question is, will you be there? Will you be weighed in the balance and found lacking? Matthew 25 and verse 1. Go back to Matthew 25. And now, like I said, we could be entering the last 7 years of humanity. Can't waste a day. You've got to be bearing fruit. You've got to be fulfilling the Great Commission that God called you from. Matthew 25, in verse 1. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, they went out to a meeting of the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those being foolish, taking the lamps, did not take oil with them," right? The oil is the Ruach HaKodesh. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." And how do you build the Ruach HaKodesh? By daily prayer, studying, fasting, meditation, and using it. Using the spiritual gifts that Yahweh gave you so that they grow. That's the way you get more, right? The same way the one with the 5 talents got 5 more by using it. The one who buried it lost the little he had. "But the bridegroom delaying, all nodded and slept." And that's the time we're living in now, right? People would have thought Yeshua were returned even decades ago. He hasn't. But now we see it. Now Yahweh is opening us up. Now the books of Daniel and these other books are being opened, Revelation. Now we're seeing. We see the mark of the beast system here. Now we know we are getting close. And the time is running out. And you know what? From the day you went under that water in baptism, you should have been bearing fruit. And maybe you're in the faith now 5 years, 10 years, maybe 20 years, and you're born nothing. So it doesn't matter how much time is left. You are running behind. And we have to bear fruit or be replaced. "Bridegroom delayed, all nodded and slept. And at midnight a cry occurred, 'Behold, the bridegroom comes, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out,'" right? And you can't. You can't give the rock to someone else. Remember when we talked about the outpouring of the Spirit in the end time? And it talks about in the Tanakh, you know, that it rained on some places but not rained on others. Meaningly, the ones that Yahweh's Spirit is at, the ones that are using it are getting more of it. And the ones that aren't using it are losing the little that they have. And you can't give the rock to someone else. You can't do it. But the wise answer saying, no, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for themselves. Right? Who are they going to? They're going in commercial Babylon, and they're thinking they can buy it. They think they could buy it through buying tapes, through buying CDs, through going and paying for going to these meetings with all these little intricate facts about this or that and all these books that people are writing, but it's not going to get you into his kingdom. But they going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards the rest of the virgins also came, saying, Master, open to us! But answering, he said, truly I say to you, I don't know you. I don't know you. You know who I know? I know the ones that are working for me. I know the ones that are bearing fruit. I know the ones that are suffering. I know the ones that are being martyred and persecuted for my name. Those are the ones I know. The ones who are building my kingdom, those are the ones I know. Not the ones that are living for the world. I do not know you. Therefore, be alert, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes. And we don't. We know the season and the time, but we don't know the day and the hour, because the day is going to be cut short and we don't know by how much. So that's why, like I said, we are living on borrowed time as it is. And to think how many sevens and six, divide seven 6,000 into seven, whatever it is you got there. And, you have 800 and whatever, 860, 870. And now we're maybe the last one. One or two at the most, but maybe the last one, right? Maybe two, but one or two. Let's go to Matthew 7 and verse 20. Matthew 7 and verse 20. Half were wise, half were foolish, half, right? Who found in the balance and only gave half of what it was. Only half that was set apart was weighed out. Matthew 7 and verse 20. Then surely from their fruits you will know them. It will not just be that everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do many works of power? Then I will declare to them from everlasting, I never knew you. Depart from me, those working lawlessness. I never knew you. And that is about the scariest thing that we could ever hear in our life. It's for Yeshua to say that. But you know it. You know if you're living for him. We are called to be servants and priests. Priests are who? They're servants. Ministers. Ministers are servants. And if you're not living as a servant to him every day, if you're living to yourself, if you're living with pride and arrogance, then you risk being replaced. 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. He says, because the time has come, the judgment must begin with the house of Yahweh. And if it first begins with us, what will be the end of the ones disobeying the good news of Elohim? Judgment starts here, and judgment has already started. And I said this the last Shemitah, I said it this Shemitah, that some people won't make it through the Shemitah. And praise Elohim, it wasn't a lot, but there were a few. There were a few who didn't embrace it, and no longer with us because of that, unfortunately. And it's sad, but it's because they found weight in the balance and found lacking. The world will be judged later, but we are weighed in the balance now and being judged. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? Or are you only giving half of what's asked for? Matthew 28 and verse 18. This is the Great Commission, right? This is what Yeshua, not only in our time, but in every time, but particularly ours, because we're also told, the good news of the kingdom has to be preached in the whole world, and then the end will come. But Matthew 28 and 18, and coming up, Yeshua talked with them, saying, all authority in heaven and earth was given to me, right? So even though Satan is the God of this society, Yeshua is literally Elohim of everything. All authority is given to him. And that's why we got to come out of Satan's society and only be ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh. He says, and having gone, disciple all nations. That's our job. That's where we're supposed to be bearing fruit. Disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, in teaching them to observe all things, whatever I commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. He is with them all the days until the completion of the age. So, how can you go out and do this? How can you go out and disciple all nations without training? You know, even in an earthly job, people understand this, you have to be trained. And that's why they had to replace Judas, because they needed. They had the disciples were going to different areas. The Apostle Paul went over here. The other apostles went over here. It was very systematically set up how it was done. And not everybody is an evangelist. You know, not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is a teacher. But we all use our gifts together to bear fruit. And everyone should have a ministry. Like I said, it's one of the biggest things we go over in the Bible school, you know, for more than 18 years now. You need a ministry. You need to be doing something. Or you know what? You're going to be that guy with that one talent that gets it taken away. You're going to be the person lacking here. And as much as you talk to some people, it just don't get through, as we're going to see. It didn't get through to Belshazzar either. So, how can you do it? You can't do it alone. And that's why you have to be part of the collective work of the family of Yahweh, the body of Messiah. You can't just do it on your own. It doesn't work that way. That's not the way that Yahweh works. And that's why, like the scripture I read before, they were in Echad. They were all in unity. You know, our magazine that I started back in 2006, a long time now, it's going on 17 years doing that magazine. Doesn't seem that long. It was called The Remnant's Walk. And I called it that for a reason. I really prayed about it. And I feel that Yahweh gave me that name. Because when Yahweh called me to ministry, 30 years old, same as Yeshua was, 29 years ago now, he called me to prepare the remnant's walk. That's what he said. You know, he said, unite his people, and that's what he was calling me for, to prepare the remnant's walk. Not to say, I mean, there's been tens and tens of thousands of people that we've been blessed to baptize and have come into this congregation. But when he called me, that was the main part of it. The main part was to first fruits, you know, and to help the remnant's walk. And that's what I've tried to do, you know, the last, 29 years now. He took me to Israel and Jerusalem to restore the original doctrine of the early congregation and to prepare Yeshua's bride for their great destiny of ruling with him for the 1,000-year millennium and forever. He inspired the 27 lessons, praise Yahweh, this past Shemitah, we had lesson 27, to ground us, because how can you teach others what you don't know? And unfortunately, there's some out there that know part, even the name of Yahweh sometimes, or the Sabbath, and they don't know other things. So they're limited in how much they can do for Yahweh. But as priests and servants, right? What does it talk about in Malachi? It's the priests that do the teaching. We have to know the doctrine or you can't do it. He also gave the books, you know, the different books and tracts, but most important is the Bible. To restore the Bible with the original Aramaic New Testament in the original book order. That's important, which, you know, most other people that have done it haven't done it that way. So this is important that he blessed us with all this. He gave us so much. We have, and like I said, there's many congregations out there Yahweh's working with, but look how much he gave our congregation, which means we're going to have greater accountability to that. He blessed me to train Yeshua's remnant at the Hayahad school for more than 18 years and host the feast days, you know, that cyclically tell his plan of salvation. First in Israel for 19 years and now the last years in Jordan. So Luke 12, verse 47-48, look what he says. But that slave, knowing the will of his master and not preparing, nor doing according to his will be beaten with many stripes. But he who does not know and does the thing that is worthy of stripes will be beaten with few stripes. For anyone who has given much, much will be required from him. And to he whom has been committed much to him, much more will be required by his hand. So yes, you are. The more truth you know, the more you are required. The more fruit you're required to bear. And our congregation as a whole, I think, has a great accountability before Yahweh because of everything he's blessed us with. Right? Judicial order, which most congregations don't understand, which is, it's essential, it's a pillar, it's a building block, it's a cornerstone. Without judicial order, there's nothing that's there. So have you taken advantage of the avenues that Yahweh's given his remnant to prepare for the most important set apart job of the universe? You know, have you ever tried to come to the Bible school in all the years we're doing it? or to attend a feast with the congregation, whether it was in Israel before or in Jordan. There's a lot of people that have never even thought about it. Never even thought about it. How are you going to prepare to bear fruit if you don't even know what you're doing, if you don't even understand it? And like I said, when I was a young believer, I would have given my right arm for a Bible school like we have today. Do you study the 27 lessons and know the doctrine that of the congregations to be able to teach other when Yeshua returns? What do you think we're doing when Yeshua returns? We'll be teaching those lessons to whoever's left in the world at that point. Do you try to meet with brethren in a local congregation and try to learn from the elders that he's placed there? Or, you know, are you sufficient to just be by yourself all the time? Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom, or are you weighed in the balance and found lacking? And literally, like I said, it's in quality and quantity. Quality and quantity. Lacking in quality and quantity. Let's go back to Daniel. Daniel 5 and verse 28 now. And look what he says. You know, so he tells him in verse 27, you're replaced. You're weighed in the scales and found lacking. You are done. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So he's finished from there. You know, and it's interesting because in the end time now, the kingdom is divided on this earth. You have us as ambassadors for the kingdom of Yahweh, which that's the message we're to bring, and then you have the kingdom of Satan, his society in this world. And literally, it's interesting here that that's what's out there today. You have two divided kingdoms, and we have to decide which kingdom we're going to belong to because you can't belong to both. But then look what happens. You know, this is really interesting. Belshazzar, he sees this hand, like I said, he sees a scary thing that would probably turn anybody's hair upside down. And he's scared to death. His knees are knocking and shaking. He goes to these conjurers and whatnot, you know, and they can't do anything. They tell him about Daniel. Daniel comes, right? And Daniel tells him the meeting, and he tells Daniel, like, you would think that when Daniel tells him, you know what, here's the meaning of it. You're done, pal. Yahweh gave you. He set you apart. He gave you a job. He set you up for that job, and you haven't done it. You haven't done it. You're lacking. He's going to replace you. You are finished. And you would think that Belshazzar would say, take him away and kill him. But look at what Belshazzar says in verse 29. Then Belshazzar commanded that they clothe Daniel with purple and a necklace of gold around his neck, and they made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Can you imagine? I mean, this guy is oblivious, and I'll be honest. I believe that probably there's a portion of people that are going to hear this sermon that should be the same thing. Because by a sermon like this, your hand should be shaking and your knee should be knocking to know the accountability we have before Yahweh and how close the time is, and that if we don't bear fruit, that we're going to be removed and put in the lake of fire where you're not going to die in your sleep. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth and screaming and wailing as people are going in that lake of fire. And there's people that will listen to this and they'll be like oblivious, like Belshazzar. They'll be, oh yeah, yeah, we need to bear more fruit, yeah, yeah. Instead of literally shaking in their boots and thinking, wow, I better get going. I better get a plan of action, not tomorrow, today. Yes, what Yahweh has given me, how could I have been so ignorant of it before? How could I have been so lackadaisical? How could I have not worked harder than what I'm doing now? And yet, that's why I say, this little story here is so relevant to our time today. But I hope your knees are shaking, because I know mine are. I know mine are. Because the time is short, and I don't want to be found lacking in the balance. And then, verse 30, you know what happens. You know, after that, after he's oblivious, and Daniel, this is great. Thanks a lot for telling me how much I'm lacking and how much Yahweh's going to replace me. And in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was killed, right? It wasn't a week, it wasn't a month, it wasn't a year. In that night, the same night that that happened. And you know what? Every night we go to bed, we don't know if we're going to wake up the next morning. Don't wait till tomorrow. Do it today. Get a plan of action. Start serving Yahweh. Get a ministry. Start working. Start doing something. Start bearing fruit. Start having deeds. You know, the parable of the talents. and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being a son of 62 years. I find it interesting too that they gave his name. You know, I mean, not his name, but his age there, 62. And in the book of Daniel, remember the 70 weeks prophecy talks about 62 and 7 weeks, because there's 69 weeks, and then there's 1 week that's separated to the end time, the last seven that we might be, you know, starting into right now. But because it was 483 years, the 69, but here it is 62 and then a 7. So I find it interesting that even at that point, you know, he was, that's in there from that. Matthew 3, let's go back to Matthew 3, we'll be ending here shortly. Matthew 3 and verse 9. Matthew 3 and verse 9. Why are you weighing the balance of down, Matthew? Matthew 13, I'm sorry, not 3. Matthew 13, verse 9. The one having ears to hear, let him hear. The one having ears to hear, let him hear. And that's why I say, thank you, Yahweh. Thank you for letting me have eyes to see and ears to hear. But if I'm saying that, I better be using it. I better not just be thanking him for it. I better be showing by my deeds that I really thank him for it. And coming near, the disciples said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? In answering, he said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to those. For whoever has, to him will be given, and he will have overabundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken. The parable of the talents, the same thing, right? Because he's talking about the ruach and the gifts. If you're not using them, they will be taken away, you know, because somebody is going to use them. Because of this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And the prophecy Isaiah is fulfilled on them, which says, in hearing, you will hear and in no way understand, in seeing, you will see and in no way perceive. Just like the world out there today, they're oblivious, just like Belshazzar. For hardened is the heart of this people, and with their ears they are hard of hearing, and with their eyes they are blinded, that they not see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and return, and I heal them, right? And like I said, thank Yahweh every day. You have eyes to see and ears to hear. But your eyes are blessed because they see, and your ears because they hear. They're blessed. For truly I tell you that many prophets and righteous ones desired to see what you see and did not, and to hear what you hear and did not hear. Many prophets and righteous ones wished, they prayed, they wanted to see what we know in this end time. And it wasn't given to them, but it's given to us. It's given to us, right? So now we got to bear the fruit. Verse 36. Then sending away the crowds, Yeshua came into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parables of the tares in the field. And answering, he said to him, the one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. The good seed is the wheat, you know, from the parable. The one sowing the good seed, the wheat is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, right? That's the seed. We have to make seed. We have to bear fruit. But the tares are the sons of the evil one, right? Satan also has his kingdom out there. And he has plants, even in the congregation. There's plants there. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the cherubs are the reapers, and here we are. Then as the tares are gathered and consumed in the fire, talked about this whole message, so it will be in the completion of this age. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness, like we said before. All stumbling blocks, ones that are not bearing fruit. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, just like we said before. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The ones having ears to hear, let them hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is compared to treasure being hidden in the field, which finding a man hid. And for the joy of it, he goes and sells all things as much as he had, and he buys that field. Do you feel that way? Do you feel the word of Yahweh? Do you feel this Bible is a treasure? And you're willing to sacrifice every last thing in your life, right? He who puts father, mother, sister, brother, anything before me is not worthy of me. And he's saying, this is like finding that treasure and giving everything, selling everything for it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a man, a merchant seeking excellent pearls, who finding one very precious pearl, going away, has sold all things, as many as he had, and he bought it, right? Is that it? Are you sacrificing, are you putting every last piece of mammon, every physical thing, and not only money and things like that, but gifts that Yahweh is giving you, talents you have, whether you're a computer programmer, or you work in construction, or whatever you're good at, are you only doing it for the world and for making money, or are you doing it for the congregation and building fruit from it, right? So what are you doing? How much does the kingdom mean to you? Is it first in your life? Is it first in your life? Or is Yahweh putting you in that scale from everything he's giving you on this side, near the scale, and there you are, you're found lacking. You're weighing the scale and found lacking to weigh out payment, but only giving half. You're telling him you're going to give it all, and yet you're only giving half. Matthew 13, the same, verse 47 through 50 now. Again, the kingdom of heaven is compared to a net thrown into the sea and gathering together of every kind, which when it is filled, drawing it up on the shore, sitting down, they gather the good into the bad bags, and the bad they threw away. Just like the parables we're reading today. He's separating, right? The sheep and the goats. So it will be in the completion of the age. The cherubs will go out and will separate the evil from the midst of the righteous. And they will throw them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be cries like you've never heard of in your life. And this is what's happening in the end of the age. Like I said, it's the feast of clamoring. It's the feast of noise. And there's going to be such a joyful good noise to those who are preparing and love Yahweh Yeshua and living every day for his kingdom. And there is going to be weeping and sorrow for the ones who are only living for this world, who are doing nothing or bearing no fruit for the kingdom, that aren't putting in an ounce of effort or just half the effort, half the effort. And last scripture is verse 51. Yeshua said to them, "Have you understood these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Master." And I say that now, I ask you, have you understood these things? And don't call me Master, but I pray that you're saying, "Yes, I understand. I understand. I finally get it. I finally get it. I need to be bearing more fruit." So, like I said, in the world today, you're about 1 out of 5 million people to be hearing the message. You know, you look online and there's all these stupid things that go on, whether it's somebody acting like a maniac on an airplane, or maybe it's just even an animal licking himself. Whatever it is, you have all this stuff online that gets millions of views. And I praise Yahweh for every view that we get, on the messages. But we're lucky on a message if we get 1,000 people listening to a message. Sometimes we get up to 4,000 or 5,000 on one message. But that's a lot. We're certainly not getting 100,000 or getting 1 million people watching it the way some of this stuff is, on the internet. And that's why I say, you're 1 out of about 5 million people. We're living in a time where people have chosen their ways. They're hard-hearted. They don't want to hear the way of Yahweh. But you are hearing it. You are hearing it. Your mind is open. You're not like these zombies out there in sane society that just don't get it. You're not like Belshazzar. You understand, but you need to do something about it. Yahweh has a just balance and expects you to bear fruit for his kingdom. Nothing more, nothing less. He is so fair, more fair than us. And he's given us every single spiritual gift to make that fruit, to be like the one who got 5 talents and gave him back 10. He's giving you everything to do it. And you know what? He's given us a whole congregation to do it together. So do it with us. Do it with me. Work together, right? Let's all work together and bear as much fruit as possible. Don't be like Belshazzar. Don't be oblivious to it, because you'll be removed. This is your vocation. Not vacation. Maybe up to now it's been a vacation. But this is your vocation. This is your job in life. Don't be found held, weighed in the balance, and found lacking. Yahweh bless. Shabbat shalom.
Well, the Bible tells us about a man who ruled Babylon and all his land. Round the city he built a wall and declared that Babylon would never fall. He had concubines and wives, called his Babylon paradise. Up on his throne he drank and ate, but for Belshazzar it was getting late. For he was waiting, the balance and found void. Drifting, sinking.